Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to that broadcast today. We pray that you'll be a part of it. You can join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413, gets you directly to our studios and to the microphone that we can have dialogue and discussion together. It is the desire of this program format that you would join in the dialogue and discussion. Oftentimes there are those that might have differing opinions or different philosophies and thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. It is our desire to see you participate and make this program that which is beneficial to you and the other listening audience as we join in each day. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That was in John 8:31-32. And then Jesus so clearly speaks in John 17:17, where he says, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things we're going to be talking about today, or the key thing, is what is truth? How do we determine? Who would be the arbiter of making the determination of what is truth? Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a society today, the modern world in which we're living in, where we face many, many voices, each one clamoring to be heard, each voice claiming to have the truth. In the political world, we find the socialists screaming and clamoring today for free education and free health care and free everything with no borders and equal income for everybody. Yet you listen to the liberals, as they call themselves progressives in Congress, they simply focus on trying to destroy our constitutional republic. Then we have the conservatives, those that we call conservatives theologically, those that we call conservatives in the realm of political issues. Conservatives simply, from the political standpoint, we want to follow the rule of law. We want to see the fidelity to our Constitution and for what we call the constitutional republic in which we live. It is not a democracy. But then we look at the religious perspective, the Christian perspective, or the biblical perspective, however you want to couch it. And we hear all kind of voices, some screaming, "I'm the truth, follow me." Others saying, "I have the truth, listen to me." Yet in reality, the majority of the world's religions, the majority of what is found in the cult world today, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there are a number of groups in America today that we call Christian cults. I think we're wrong in doing so, but nevertheless, that's how it's couched when you study world religions and the deviant cults in the world. And we have, back in 2009, I believe it was, I read a statistical data that said we have an average of about 600 new cults coming to the shores of America every 12 months. And I think that probably greatly intensified since then. And each one seems to say, "I am the truth." Each one seems to say, "I have the truth." But the focus on the truth, and yet most of the time, all of these religious denominational groups simply want to garner and gain and recruit followers after themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on the microphone with us today in our studio here at Let's Face the Issues broadcast, we have Reverend Peter Murrell. He's a missionary, a former missionary. He's a professor of Bible missions in our university, Conservative Theological University. He's has an extensive background, ladies and gentlemen, in foreign missions, having served in Micronesia and in Saipan and the Philippines as a missionary, pastor, preacher, teacher of the Word of God. Brother Peter, welcome to the microphone today. Delighted to have you with us on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to what the Lord is going to say and do through you and for your ministry. I'm thankful that you're on board with us at the university. I'm delighted to see what God has already been doing, and I'm looking forward to it. Talk with our listeners today, Brother Peter. Tell our listeners something about yourself, something about your missions, something about your background. Tell us something. I believe our listeners would be interested in hearing your journey to find truth and what your background was denominationally before you found Christ as Savior. Talk with our listeners today and let them hear a little about you and why it is so important to reach the unreached world with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
First of all, I would like to thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for inviting me here. And truly, it's a blessing to sit down here and to discuss these important issues that we're facing in our world today. And I would like to share as well my testimony, how I come to know the Lord. First of all, I grew up in a very dedicated and devoted Catholic family. And I remember when I was young, I was trained to be the leader in our home when it comes to prayer. We have a novena every night, 6 o'clock in the evening. And because of my upbringing, my parents, they dedicate my life to become a priest. And then after my graduation in high school, I signed up to join the Franciscan Seminary to become a full-time Catholic priest. But somehow the Lord sent someone to come to our family. It was a family friend, and he shared to me about the true Word of God. And I was so mad because I don't want this truth that this man is sharing to me to destroy my life, my religion, as well as my parents' desire for us, especially for me, to become a priest. Because we have this belief that if there's one priest in the family, my whole family will be saved. So when this man was sharing to me the Word of God, you know, I totally closed my heart and I don't want to listen. But the Word of God is so powerful that one day God opened my heart to receive His Word. And I remember 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was walking on the street in Manila, and I just sit down on the curb and I pray and I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember that was in 1984. And from there, I served the Lord faithfully, and eventually I went to the mission field, and I served in Micronesia for more than 20 years, as well as in the Philippines. I'm doing some mission work in Micronesia, as well as going back and forth to the Philippines, and I know what God wants for my life, and that is to proclaim the gospel. And that is why when the Lord changed my life, I committed my life. I said, Lord, use me to proclaim the truth so that the truth, people will be set free from the lies and the deception that is what's happening in our world today.
Brother Peter, I noticed that you made the statement that you grew up in a staunch Catholic church, a staunch Catholic environment. In fact, at one point, you were on your journey to be a Franciscan priest in the Catholic Church. Talk with us about, just for a moment, I don't want to digress too far, but talk with us about that for a moment. Many times you'll talk with a person, he says, well, I'm Catholic. It doesn't say I'm a Christian, but I'm Catholic. For our listening audience today, and perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening and you have a background in Roman Catholicism, and you wonder why there is a difference, or if there's a difference, Brother Peter, tell our listening audience today why you differentiate with that you came to a point and place where you received Christ as Savior, and it changed your life, it changed the direction. Is there a difference in Christianity and Catholicism? I don't mean to go into all of the doctrinal differences, but is there a difference? Can a person say, I'm Catholic, and still say, I'm saved, even though that would be possible? Is it probable? Tell us something about that for our listening audience. What is the difference in Catholicism and Christianity? Very succinctly, give our listening audience an understanding of that.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for asking that question, because as a devoted Catholic, I believe that I'm a Christian, and I believe that I'm going to heaven. But when I was confronted with the truth, I remember many years ago, I was growing up and, going to the seminary. You know, every Good Friday, I usually walk barefooted for miles and miles. I remember it's around 20 to 30 miles. And I walk barefooted and thinking that by doing this penitence, that we call it penitence or sacrifice, I can earn God's favor. But I realize when I read the Bible that we are not saved by our good works, but we are saved by the grace of God. Our good works, as what the Bible says in Isaiah, that it is just a filter rags in the sight of God. And because of this, and also when one of the our service, when I was pursuing my priesthood, our professor, he was a Monsignor. He was Monsignor, I remember, his name is Vera, Monsignor Vera. That Wednesday evening, I was inside a church, and he challenged us, and he questioned us in front of the church and said, what do you do when you're inside the church? And we told him that, of course, we come to worship God. And he asked me, or he asked all of us, what God do you worship? And he pointed out all the statues in front of the church. And he said, is this the gods that you worship? And as a devoted Catholic, we told him, of course, those are the gods that we worship. We honor them. But he pointed us to the Word of God. And he said, these are not gods. The Word of God, you need to read the Word of God so that you will know the true God. And that is why I go back to the Word of God and the Lord open my heart as I speak to as I read the Word of God, and someone lead me how this religion come to the Philippines. I remember many years, we've been under the Spanish for 300 years, and people, there's no choice than to convert to this religion, but people, they never make a decision if this is the true faith.
So in other words, what you're saying is there's a difference in truth. Within the realm of some denominations and some religions, they claim to have truth, as you just so articulated so very well, that within that particular realm of religion, it's worshiping icons and idols, and it's not truly worshiping God. But when you found the truth, it made a difference. And that difference gave you that passion, as I understand it, from your testimony, of going onto the mission field and presenting the truth of the gospel to others. But on the mission field, Brother Merrill, share with our audience what you find is first confusion in what is truth and what is the thing that is so concerning to you on the mission field about getting truth into the hands and the ears of the recipients there.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And first of all, I would like to lay down the main foundation and the mission. First, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, and the Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So this is the great commission of the church. And this is the passions of my heart, because I had been blinded. I had been asleep in my religion before. I thought I was doing the best thing as a follower of my religion. doing penitence, doing prayers, 15 prayers, and so many 15 prayers every night. But when I confronted with the truth, and what I'm doing is basically is an abomination to God, because I'm worshiping the idols. But when I become a Christian, my passion is to teach and declare the true word of God. But we have a major challenge today in Matthew 24, verse 11. And it says, as a church, this is our challenge. Jesus said that, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many.
The false prophets aspect of Brother Peter, did you find that to permeate the islands in which you were on the mission field? Did you find a problem with these false teachers saying, in essence, to the people, if I can understand what you're saying, these false teachers were saying, we have the truth, listen, we have the truth, follow, and yet they were not, it was not the truth. It was not the word of God.
Correct.
Tell us something about what you found on the mission field from the standpoint of the difficulty for you as a missionary to get the people to understand what you were saying versus what the cults and the false religions were saying.
All right. The major problem that we're facing today, being a missionary, as I mentioned, I've been in the mission field for more than 20 years. And the one thing that I experience and observe in the mission field is that people are confused which one they are going to believe, because, as I mentioned earlier, a while ago, that there are false prophets in every corner in the mission field, as what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15, and it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And in verse 14, it says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, these so-called pastors, missionaries as well in the mission field, who were sent by these cults, and some of them coming from America, some of them coming from the East. So the Bible says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
So what you're saying is, if I can communicate this, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing today Brother Peter Murrell. Brother Peter has been serving on the mission field for 20-some-odd years in Micronesia and the Philippines. He is now part of the faculty with Conservative Theological University, where he teaches Bible and missions and evangelism in the classes. And so let me just at this point urge you, if you felt impressed with the Lord to serve in any category of ministry, perhaps you're a pastor, preacher, teacher, bivocationally or otherwise, perhaps you're in educational ministry, Christian ministry, or simply a deacon or Sunday school teacher, you want to know more about the Word of God, you can call Conservative Theological University at 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, or the local number is 262-8275, and ask for an interview appointment. Our fall classes start in September. We have several openings for the different classes. We have classes Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday, and Friday nights for the 16-week semester. You can earn your Certified Associates of Arts, Bachelor of Arts, Master of Arts, Master of Divinity, or Bible degree in your PhD program. We'd urge you to call. Let us see how we can lock arms with you and train you in the Word of God. You can call us at 401-1413 for this dialogue and discussion today. Brother Peter, what we're talking about is the search for truth.
Correct.
So could we say that the real question, the fundamental point at issue today, whether it's in America or in Asia or Europe or any place on the foreign mission field, that the point that we ought to be concerned about is, what is truth? And one writer said, and I found it fascinating that he couched it this way. One writer said on this, almost 2,000 years ago, truth was put on trial and judged by the people who were devoted to lies. In fact, truth faced six trials in less than one full day, three of which were religious, three of which were legal. In the end, few people involved in those events could answer the question, what is truth? And so in essence, this particular writer was saying that truth, when you say truth, we're speaking of Jesus Christ himself.
Correct. That's right.
Because Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. But yet in the 18th chapter of Luke's gospel, or John's gospel, that is, the 18th chapter of John's gospel, Jesus, when faced with Pilate, and Pilate says, what is truth? Jesus confronted him with the fact that he is truth. In fact, in that 18th chapter, in verse 38, I believe it is, if I could turn there very quickly, in the 38th verse, Pilate says unto him, what is truth? And then prior to that, in verse 37 of 18th chapter of John, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice, Jesus said. And then Pilate says, what is truth? And that's the question that multitudes are asking today. What is truth? So speak to our listening audience today, Brother Peter. What is truth? If you're standing in the classroom and you're teaching pastors and evangelists and missionaries in the classroom on missions, and you're trying to admonish them to teach the truth, what would you tell them they must do? What is the essence of truth? What is truth? In fact, as I say that, let me just give you a little list for our listening audience of what truth is not. Truth is not simply what works. Truth is not simply what is coherent or understandable. Truth is not what makes people feel good. Truth is not the majority, what the majority may say is truth. Truth is not what is comprehensive. Truth is not defined by what is intended. Truth is not how we know. Truth is what we know, what we do know, not how we know. Truth is not simply what is believed. A lie is believed, and it doesn't make it true. Truth is not what is publicly proven. A truth can be privately known. Talk with us about biblical truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, what is truth? And when we say truth, I go back to what Jesus said to his disciples. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So Peter, talk with our listening audience today for just a moment about truth. What is truth? From the biblical standpoint of what our listeners need to understand, because, Brother Peter, our listeners are caught up in some of the morass and the confusion that we all see every day. There's some that in churches where the pastor is saying that hell is not real. Some pastors are not preaching against sin. Some pastors, like Rick Warren in California, are saying that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. Some pastors are saying that you don't have to worry about being gay, because if you're a sodomite, you can still, it's because God created you that way, and you can still go to heaven. All of this, we realize, from the Christian theological central biblicist standpoint, is a lie. Tell our listeners how to discover, how to find what is truth.
Thank you, Pastor. There's only one answer if we are going to know and understand what is true. Let me share to you in the book of John chapter 14, verse 6. Here Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And also in Matthew 22, verse 16, let me share that verse here. Matthew 22, verse 16, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know thou art the true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the presence of men. So based in this biblical standpoint, there's only one truth and one source of truth, and that is Jesus Christ. And the problem today in many churches here in America and even in the mission field is there are so many denominations and preachers today and even missionaries, they pervert the truth.
That is exactly right. And when you say they pervert the truth, perverting the truth, if Jesus is truth, and he is, if Jesus said thy word is truth, and it is, speaking of the word of God, because in John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, in the beginning was the word was with God,
correct,
the word is God. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. And so that is the truth.
Amen.
Anything that is a digression from the truth of the Word of God, anything that is a perversion of who Jesus Christ is. A lot of people that say Jesus is a good man. Jesus was a good prophet. In fact, in the Quran, the Islamics say that Jesus was a prophet. He was a good man. But that Muhammad was the final prophet and was the better prophet, and therefore we need to follow Muhammad. There are millions, in fact, billions, 1.4 billion Islamics on the face of the globe today that believe in Jesus as in the Quran is stated. But it's not the same Jesus. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Jesus Christ shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The Jesus that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is God. God come in the flesh. Anything less than that is a perversion of truth. Anything less than that is relativism. In fact, in relativism today, everyone says what I say is correct. Talk with us about truth in its relative state as we find in the world today, Brother Peter.
All right. As I mentioned earlier, the truth today is being perverted. And it is not in our generations today, but even Paul, he was speaking to the church in Galatia in Galatians chapter 1 in verse 6. It says here, I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert. So here is the word pervert, that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And the warning is in verse 8. Paul said, but do we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So today, as I speak, based on my experience in the mission field and even the church, as I travel in different churches here in America, there is a great confusion, a magnitude of confusion inside the church today. First, the people are confused regarding their salvation. That there are many churches today, they teach us that baptism can save a person. Their works, their membership can save them. But the Bible teaches salvation only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So this is the first confusion in the church. The second is people are confused regarding the standard of living. People, they worship God on Sunday, but live a worldly lifestyle from Monday to Saturday. Third, the people are confused regarding the standard of leadership. Church leaders today here in America, even in the mission field, as I speak, the mission that I went through in Micronesia and the Philippines and around the world, church leaders becomes a powerful ruler inside the church instead of being a faithful servant of God. And the next one is the people are confused regarding the standard of purpose of the church. Today, the church, it become a social gathering rather than a place where people will hear the true preaching of the Word of God and their life could be changed.
Yes, absolutely. Brother Peter, then, we've got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk to our listeners today. Brother Peter, just take this microphone today as your broadcast stand to speak to thousands of people that are listening in relationship to what they need to know about the truth, how the truth can set them free, what they need to do to be sure that they're saved, and to know that they have Jesus Christ as eternal life. Speak to that for just a moment as we wrap up this broadcast today.
Thank you, Pastor. There's only one thing that is the most important facts that we need to understand, and that is we need to go back to the Word of God. That everything that we believe must be based on what Jesus said, not what based on the denomination, that is not based on whatever people believe, but that is based on The Word of God alone.
The Word of God alone. Many religions today, ladies and gentlemen, is Brother Peter Murrell, missionary from the Micronesia area of the world and from the Philippines, now on staff with Conservative Theological University as one of the Bible professors and missions professor with evangelism. Brother Peter, many today religions will talk about health and wealth, theology, the signs, miracles, and wonders, and never being ill or never being sick, always being successful, discounting sin, discounting and rejecting the reality of hell. But Brother Peter, as you've just shared so eloquently with our listeners, the real answer is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and not some denominational preference. In fact, let me give our listeners a quote from Dr. Ravi Zachariah, an apologist that's well-known globally. Dr. Zachariah said this, and I quote, "The fact is, the truth matters, especially when you're on the receiving end of the lie. And nowhere is this more important than in the area of faith and belief. Eternity is an awfully long time to be wrong." End quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're saying as we've discussed today, what is truth? Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is simply believing in Christ as Savior and as Lord. Without truth, there's no possibility of eternal life. In fact, in Ephesians 6, we're challenged, having your loins girt about with truth. Without the truth of God's word, there's confusion and a loss of focus, theological, biblical truth. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to joining you again on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.